God, we give you thanks that in all of our lives, in the good soil and the poor, you sow your grace. You forgive our sin. And your word takes root and grows within us. We give you thanks. And we give you our lives. Amen.
Pray again. God of truth, you sow the seed of your word among us. Soften the soil of our hearts to receive your grace, that it may flourish in us. Amen. A reading from Genesis. God appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "If I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." So Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly a bushel of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. She had passed her fertile age. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" God said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for God? At that set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. God said, "Oh, yes, you did laugh." The word of life. Please stand in body or in. A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the controlling power of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the controlling power of sin and death. For God has done what the law, in the hands of our weak flesh, could not do. By sending the only begotten in the likeness of sinful flesh and to deal with sin, God condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who see themselves as isolated individuals set their minds on self-centered anxieties, but those who know they are part of God's Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the isolated self is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the individual self is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's will. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are absorbed in self cannot please God. But you are not an isolated individual. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, though your isolated body is dead, being disconnected from God, the Spirit is life because of the gift of God's presence. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies and also through God's Spirit that dwells in you. The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Matthew's gospel in the 13th chapter. Jesus left the house, went down and sat by the sea. Great crowds gathered around. So Jesus got out in a boat and sat there, and the whole crowd stood on the shore. And Jesus taught them with many parables. He said, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as she sowed, some seeds fell on the path. Birds ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where there wasn't much depth of soil. So it sprung up quickly, but because there wasn't soil, when the sun rose, they didn't have any roots and they withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on good soil and brought forth grain, 100-fold and 60 and 30. If you have ears to hear, listen." The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. This is a story about failure and futility. And Jesus' listeners would have known exactly what he was talking about. All this seed that goes to waste. We're accustomed to tractors planting seeds in neat little rows, but they had no such thing. They just walked through the field and they threw seeds, and they knew perfectly well how many of those seeds would be wasted. Sometimes you can feel like that sower. You can feel like your life is seeds that have fallen on the driveway. They're not going anywhere. We can feel sometimes like we try to do things and it's going to fall on rocky soil and it's not going to produce much. Sometimes we can feel like we don't know that our own lives are worth all that much. They're not accomplishing anything. They're not contributing. Sometimes we can feel like we're just too messed up. Sometimes you can feel like your whole life is just seed that's fallen in the road. It's not going to produce anything. It wasn't worth anything. And sometimes our faith can feel like that. You feel like you're trying to grow in faith, but you can't really say that you've grown. You try to pray, but your prayers fall on rocky ground. You try 7 times 70 times to forgive somebody, and you just can't do it. Sometimes we feel like that sower that just can't see any useful product for what we're doing. Jesus says, yeah, it's like that. You never get to see. Sometimes the good you do is hidden. And you can't see it. just recently, I read about some drive-through place like a Wendy's where somebody came in and they did what they often do. They paid for their lunch, plus they paid extra for the car behind them. That happens a lot. The interesting thing is the second car that came through, they were so touched that instead of just saying, woohoo, thank you, and driving off, they paid for the car behind them. The third car did the same thing. And it went on and on and on for like a couple of hours. And the folks at Wendy's started to count them all up. And it was over 100 cars in a row that were so touched that they paid for the car behind them. 100 carloads of people experienced kindness and generosity out of the blue, all because one person paid for the car behind them and drove off. And they will never know how that one seed that they planted bore fruit 100-fold. Sometimes even our mistakes bear fruit. God sows seeds even in the rocky soils and among the thorns. A seminary professor of mine was reading scripture in worship on the radio at some big fancy, I don't remember where he went to seminary, but I think it was Princeton or Yale or something like that, and it was pretty important. Well, he got the part in the scripture where it speaks of how every man sitteth beneath his shade tree. Sure enough, clear as a bell, he read right out on the radio to hundreds of listeners how every man sitteth beneath his shade tree. And there was a ripple of laughter that went out through the congregation, and he just stood there till it died down. And then he said, and every man who sitteth beneath his shade tree, and went right on. Later on, this woman came up to him and said, I want to thank you for that. You don't know how many of us are terrified to make a mistake. And you just set me free. I can just make a mistake and go right on. He had no way of knowing the grace that was sown in that little rocky patch. It's all good. It's all good. I knew these folks, Kathy and Brian. They had a kid, Doug, who was a handful. He was a constant challenge. He was one of these kids that learns every rule by breaking it. He figures out where all the boundaries are by crashing into them. He couldn't just make it easy. His whole life was just one misstep after another. And they were extraordinarily patient with him. Every time they would just talk it through with him and say, so, Douglas, what did you learn? And they would talk it out, and they would go on, and he'd have his next adventure, and it would be another disaster, and they'd have to talk about it again. High school was a struggle for him. He had decent grades, but he didn't fly through. And every week, it seemed, there was a different mistake that he made that he had to deal with. He applied for college. His parents thought with some trepidation about what it was like to send their kid off into the world without them. And they were a little worried because they weren't really sure that they were getting through to their Doug. He started a first draft on his college application essay and showed it to his mom to get her help. It was called, What Did I Learn? It started out like this. When I was a kid, and I guess I still am, every time I messed up, my parents would never punish me. They would just sit me down and say, Douglas, what did you learn? Well, here's what I learned. I learned that no matter how bad I mess up, I can learn something from it. I learned that no matter how bad I mess up, there's always somebody who will help me learn something from it. The essay went on from there, but that was enough for Kathy. She said, "What I learned is that love is like sending a letter. You know they got it, but you don't get to see that. Sometimes Jesus invites us to just trust that it seems like we've sown all those seeds to no avail. Don't worry. There's good soil. They'll bring forth. Trust that." Sometimes when we have a hard time trusting that, it's not so much because we feel like the sower. It's that we feel like the soil. We know. There are places in our lives that are hard-packed earth where we've walked 100,000 times. I know all about this. I know how to do this. I've packed that path down. And the seed of God's grace falls in those places, and there's no way it can sink in because I already know. It's just going to sit there till the birds eat it. And there are those birds in my life, in my heart, those appetites, those things that I want, those ways that I need for the world to turn out the way I need for it to turn out, and they will come up and eat all those seeds before they ever have a chance to take root in my life. There are ways in which God's love falls on rocky ground in my heart. Places where it's just all rocks. Wounds and uncertainties and doubts that I've just closed in. I don't want to go there. It's too hurtful. It's too scary. I don't want to go deep. So God's grace just sits on the surface and can't sink deep roots. And then when it gets hot, you know they will wither. There are places in my life where God's love can take root and grow, but it has to compete with all of these weeds of my judgments, my resentment, and they'll just choke that grace. But, Jesus says, there's also good soil, and God will find it. God sows this love in our lives that goes all over. Goes in the path, goes in the rocky patches, goes among the weeds. And it finds good soil. There is good soil in your soul. The question is, what do you do to receive God's word? What do you do to soften the soil? Dig up the rocks, pull the weeds. What do you do to till the soil of your soul? Every morning I try to have some prayer time where I'm reading some scripture and some other stuff and giving a lot of silence to just breathe, just stare at the tree outside the window and allow God to sow grace. Nothing ever happens in that time. It's not like I get up from my prayers a new person. But I do get up from my prayers with some kind of seeds sown in me that will only sprout and grow later. What do you do? Sometimes we have to get down on our knees and serve other people. Sometimes we have to learn and study and challenge our own beliefs. Sometimes we just need to come here on a Sunday morning, hear the stories, sing the songs with other people, set aside how much I like or don't like the music, whether it's going the way I want it to go, what time it is, just let go of all that and receive God's grace. What do you do to soften and nourish the soil of your soul so that that love will take root? God will find the good soil. Take some time right now. If it's comfortable, you can close your eyes and just imagine that God is sowing love in your soul this moment, scattering seeds of love and grace, wisdom and forgiveness. And those seeds fall and settle into soil and become invisible. Jesus says, unless a seed falls into the earth, dies, and is buried, it remains a single seed. But if it is buried, it bears much fruit. Trust that that grace is unseen. Jesus says, the realm of God is like someone who scatters seed upon the ground and sleeps and rises night and day, and the earth produces of itself. The sower does not know how. First the blade, then the stalk, then the full grain in the stalk. Even now, God is sowing seeds of grace in you. For the sound of the sowing of grace, we give you thanks, God. We pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen. Love so in God, so love in me, your seeds of grace abundantly. My soul be sown where love may root and grow and bear your precious fruit. Where habits meet and wheels have trapped my ancient work, the soil has passed. Suffering my soul with bliss or pain, so love may enter in again. My angry souls, my selfish weeds, God clear away and sow your seeds. Despite the hungry, wanting bird, love planting me, your living word. Love sowing God, your labor's done. Help me to trust the rain and sun. Receive your grace.
生方，你，bear forth your love.